Well, we are starting a new series this week, a four-week series called Encourage Me. We have been going through the book of Luke in the winter of 2020, and then we transition into the book of Acts in the spring, summer of 2020 into the fall. And we're putting a comma on the book of Acts. Typically, we go through books of the Bible, we go section by section, and we're just going to put a comma on the book of Acts. We're going to continue it later on and just go into a four-week series called Encourage Me. And it has been my feeling that inside conversations and everything that we have been speaking words of encouragement, but officially through a sermon series, we really haven't addressed the things that have gone on in 2020. And so I thought it would be good, the timing would be right for us to just cover a series saying, hey, 2020, life is hard. Life is hard in general. And maybe you've received a lot of curveballs in 2020 or just regularly in your life. And let me just offer you some encouragement. The definition of encouragement is to give support, confidence, or hope to someone. And so that's just what I want to do through this four-week series, Encourage Me, is to give you support, give you encouragement, and give you hope. The Bible is on Kindle, the app. The Bible is the most highlighted book on Kindle. And of that most highlighted book, the Bible, Philippians 4, 6 to 7 is the most highlighted Bible passage. So think about that. On Kindle, the most highlighted book, the Bible, the most highlighted passage in the Bible is Philippians 4, 6 to 7, which talks about being anxious for nothing. And that's going to be part of the context that we're going to be talking about this morning as we look at encouragement that Philippians 4, 4 to 7 offers. So let me just read it through, and then we're going to be just applying some principles from this passage that I am hoping and praying will be an encouragement to you. So Philippians 4, 4 to 7, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. And it's interesting that Paul in Philippians 3, 1 says rejoice in the Lord. And now he says it again, he repeats it, rejoice in the Lord, and he says always, and then he says, repeats it in the same verse, again I will say rejoice. Do you get the message that Paul is finding it important, even though we're going to talk about his background, he finds it important that we need to have joy in our life and we need to be continually rejoicing. And then it goes on in verse 5, let your gentle spirit be known to all men, the Lord is near. 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And so, just pulling out three simple principles from this passage this morning. Rejoice in the Lord always. Be anxious for nothing. Pray about everything. And Paul makes no bones about it. This is an all-inclusive. It leaves no room for the negative. The negative comes, we just have our natural thought processes and the stuff of life where the negative comes. But as far as Paul is concerned, he says, rejoice always, be anxious for nothing, pray about everything. So what percentage should we have between despair and rejoicing? Well, despair should get 0% and rejoicing should get 100% of our attention and time. What percentage should be between being anxious and resting? Being anxious should get 0%, resting should get 100%. What percentage between self-reliance and prayer? Well, self-reliance should get 0% and prayer should get 100%. Do you get the message? If this was a football game, it would be a blowout on the side of depending on the Lord. We are in election season, and if this was an election, it would be a landslide on the part of depending on the Lord. And so you're likely wondering how you can do all that, how you can rejoice in the Lord always, how you can be anxious for nothing, how you can pray about everything when you have so much going on in your life. And maybe you're going through strained relationships, and this has been ongoing for years, or it's just something that has just flared up. Maybe you're dealing with your finances, where you have a car with 200,000 miles on it, and you're trying to keep it going because you simply do not have the resources to get another car. Maybe financially you're facing bills or medical bills, and you have the question of retirement. What's retirement? What's that? With your health, maybe there's been a recent diagnosis or an ongoing condition. Maybe you're experiencing pain and wondering how long you can continue in your job where it requires the physical or the back sitting or whatever discomfort you're experiencing, and you're wondering how long you can continue in your job with the pain you're experiencing. You have questions about the future. Maybe you have a job loss. You might have reduced pay or reduced hours because of the coronavirus. Maybe you have, they've downsized at your work and it's just the opposite. Your workload and the hours that you're required to put in are overbearing. And then you add all to that the 2020 stress, where there is conflict that you see every night on TV. There's the COVID whole virus thing going on, and there are questions about the future of the country. And so many times these circumstances that you're experiencing, financial and work and relational, all those things are not just one issue that comes at you, but it's multiple issue. It is multifaceted, where you're feeling one thing after another, after another, after another, and they're all interrelated. You have stress at your job, and it's part of it is relational, or you are experiencing a setback from COVID, and it's related to your job, and all these things are kind of intertwined and multifaceted, and it's not just one thing at a time. Well, let me encourage you. It is possible to have peace in your mind and settling in the pit of your stomach. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Be anxious for nothing. Pray about everything. And this is not just pie in the sky well-wishing, but it's actually based on the strength and character of God himself. If you look back over these verses 4 to 7, you're going to see that it says not just rejoice because you need to rejoice, but it says rejoice in the Lord always. Verse 5, the Lord is near. Verse 6, request be made known to God. Verse 7, and the peace of God will guard your, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You see, this hope that we have, the ability to be anxious for nothing and to rejoice in the Lord always and to pray about everything is anchored in God himself. It's interesting that, I think about when I was in elementary school and we would have recess, and I remember one day that recess was just in the middle of this huge windstorm. And maybe today, you know, you would not go out for recess or they board up the windows or one of those things. But, you know, when I was in elementary school, it was like, hey, windstorm, let's go to recess. And so they would take us out there. And I remember this one day when there was this windstorm that I was a really skinny kid. And I remember we would go in the backfield behind the school during recess. And during this windstorm, you could actually open up your jacket and lean backward into the wind. And it was like a sail. It would actually hold you up. And you could lean back into the wind, 80 degrees, you know, 75 degrees, leaning hard back into the wind. And it was a lot of fun, you know, to be held up by the wind. But there was a point when we leaned into the wind that we would actually give way. If you would get at a 45 degree angle, eventually you would fall over and the wind couldn't hold you up. That's not the way it is with God. God, you can lean into Him, 75 degree angle, 45 degree angle. Lord, I really need you. I need to lean harder and harder and harder. And God is the very present help in time of struggle. The Apostle Paul found this out. You know, he's writing the book of Philippians from a Roman prison. And you would think, you know, well, it would be fine if he was, in some fancy place eating fine food, enjoying comfort. Sure, he could write all these things about rejoicing in the Lord, always being anxious for nothing, pray about everything. But he was actually writing from a Roman prison. If you look at his track record of all that he had been through, it's amazing that he could write these things about rejoicing in the Lord, being anxious for nothing, praying about everything. He says he was beaten in 2 Corinthians 11. He recounts all that he had been through. So he had been beaten times without number. He was often in danger of death, he said. He said 5 times he got 39 lashes. That is one short of the 40, which was the Roman death penalty. He was beaten 3 times with rods. 1 time, he says, he was stoned. 3 times, he says, he was shipwrecked. He says he was in danger from every source and direction imaginable. He had been through labor and hardship, many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And then he says, on top of all that, he has the daily pressure of all the churches that he's caring for that are having infighting and false teachers and false beliefs. And now he's in a Roman prison with an unknown outcome of life or death. Well, Paul, there's a couple things I got to say. How could you say all these things about rejoicing and being anxious for nothing with all that you've been through? Second, Paul, you have my attention. I think to myself, okay, Mr. Been There, Done That, Mr. In worse circumstances than I will ever be, facing more things than I will ever face, I am listening. If you are saying after going through all you've been through, rejoice in the Lord always, be anxious for nothing, pray about everything, and you still have that perspective after all you've been through, you have my attention. I'm listening. And part of Paul's testimony is that he leaned into God harder and harder and harder and harder and still found him standing firm. Well, there's even more of a challenge as we dive into the original Greek language of this passage, Philippians 4:4-7. In the original language, the original Greek, all three are commands that are in the present tense. You know what that tells us? It tells us we need to keep doing it. We need to keep rejoicing, keep being anxious for nothing, keep praying. It's not something, you know, don't you wish that you could just set it and forget it and say, God, in November of 2020, I hereby give my life to you and totally trust in you. And you give it to him once and the issue is settled for life for the next 20, 30, 40, 50 years of your life. The issue is settled. But that's not the way it is it? There's a couple things that keep happening. One is that circumstances keep changing and keep coming. And the circumstances you're changing, they're not in just in a vacuum, but more circumstances, more pressure comes. Some pressure goes away and some replaces it. The pressure that you're dealing with, a lot of the elements of relational and monetary and workplace pressures all interact. And so circumstances keep changing and they keep coming. And so where we wish we could just set it and forget it, our circumstances change and call for new and fresh dependence on the Lord. The second thing that keeps happening, And the reason that we need to actively rejoice, be anxious for nothing, pray, is that we keep sliding back from rest to anxiety. And so, you know, we're standing in our living room and we say to the Lord, you know, Lord, I got all this that I'm facing and I hereby give it to you. Amen. And then it's not amen. You go out into the garage and maybe you start working on a project or something. And 5 minutes later, you find yourself fretting over something that you just gave over to the Lord. And it's almost like this continual, give it to the Lord, take it back. Give it to the Lord, take it back. Okay, Lord, I want to picture this as putting all my troubles, all the things that I'm facing in my life, all that I've been facing in 2020, I'm just going to put it in this big box and lay it before your throne. And there you go, God. No, God, it's mine. No, I'm going to give it to you, Lord. I want to, this will be permanent this time. Lord, I give you all that I am facing. I hand it over. No, it's mine. I give it to you. No, it's mine. And we keep going back and forth between resting and anxiety, between giving it over to the Lord and taking it upon ourselves. It's like an oxymoron. We keep striving to rest, and rest is a lot of work. We fight the what-ifs. We fight the inclination to figure things out ourselves. We fight the tendency to internalize everything, leading to a frantic mind and knots in our stomach. And we have to actively say, moment by moment, I'm going to continue to give it over to the Lord. Lord, it's yours. Lord, it's yours. And then we learn that discipline of saying, Lord, it's yours, and it stays with you. The things that I'm facing financially, with my work, with my family, with my relationships, more and more, I give them over to you, Lord. I want to rejoice in you always. And I'm going to continue to work at doing that. I want to be anxious for nothing. And I'm going to continue to work at giving it over to you. I'm going to pray about everything. Well, I can remember, we have three children. And I remember when Julie, my wife, was pregnant with our middle child, our daughter Amanda, although we did not know the gender of the baby, but I'll call her by the name Amanda. And Julie was pregnant with Amanda. Well, Julie has a condition that endangers the baby in the womb, where they actually wanted to take Amanda 3 weeks early. As soon as she could survive outside of the womb, they wanted to take Amanda. And so it was 3 weeks before Julie's due date. We went to the hospital, stayed overnight, woke up the next morning, and they began inducing labor to try to have Julie deliver our baby. And I can remember it got into a little bit of time, and all of a sudden, alarms were going off, and medical staff were kind of rushing in, and it was apparent that the baby was going through stress, that the baby was not doing well. And the doctor came in, and he tried repositioning Julie to try to get the heart rate back to normal and everything. And I remember a nurse saying to him, "You are one brave man." In other words, we need to get her into emergency surgery and do an emergency C-section. Finally, the doctor said, "Okay, let's do this." And they wheeled Julie away to the operating room, and they gave me scrubs and sent me into a room, and I changed, and I was actually able to go out into the operating room to see the C-section take place. Now, obviously, I was behind, you know, something where I couldn't see the actual surgery itself, but I was in the room. And I remember Julie was out. They had put her under. And I remember I was in a panic. I didn't know what was going on. I was half crying, half trying to contain myself. And I remember they delivered Amanda, and she wasn't breathing. And I was beside myself, and I was just very emotional. And they were working on baby. Mom was out. She was put under. And there I was all by myself in this room. Now, there was lots of people who were going around, being scurrying around with their medical procedures. But I was alone. I felt very alone in this stainless steel environment. And I remember just wishing that someone would just put their hand on my shoulder and just saying, it's going to be okay. But there wasn't anyone there to do that. They were busy with their medical procedures. And so many times, you yourself can feel that way. That you're going through a lot, that you're going through a lot of stress in your life and a lot of hardship in your life. And you feel like you're going through in a stainless steel world. Who is noticing? Who is that warm hand to comfort you? And I want to say to you this morning that God, through His Word, wants to be that warm hand that puts His hand on your shoulder and says, it's going to be okay. Lean on me. You don't know about the world around you. There's people who are not paying attention. There's people that are dealing with their own issues. But you can know that there is a God who loves you, who is that warm hand, and said, lean hard on me. Rejoice in the Lord always. Be anxious for nothing. Pray about everything.